And we're back. It's a new year. The podcast has a new name and a new format, but the same two co-hosts. I am Jack Swansea, host of this podcast, formerly known as Open Wheel Open Mic. And joining me once again is my dear friend, Alex Gintz, IndyCar editor here at frontstretch.com. Alex, how are you?
I'm excited. How are you?
Also excited. It's been a long off season.
Yes.
We're still halfway in the middle of it, because Formula One racing doesn't get started until the 3rd of March, the same day that IndyCar gets started.
It's going to be a good weekend.
It is going to be a good weekend. But that's a long time away. So we figured we're itching to get started with some racing. Why not get started with some podcasting, because that's basically the same thing. And to you, our listeners, welcome to a new season of The Pit Straight, where we bring you the intelligent analysis you've come to expect from the Front Stretch Podcast Network, but now fully dedicated to the sport of Formula One racing. The Pit Straight, it's like Front Stretch, but F1. So with the new name comes a new format. Instead of trying to tackle all the news happening across the two premier open wheel racing series, Alex and I are just going to spend some time tackling one big pressing question per episode. And this week we are starting with a big one. Alex, who will be the next new F1 World Drivers Champion?
George Russell.
All right, episode over. Let's wrap it up there. We actually gotta talk about that. So in F1, what we have seen lately, we're in the era of big dynasties. So you saw Schumacher win 5 in a row with Ferrari, Vettel win 4 in a row at Red Bull, Lewis Hamilton win 6 out of 7 for Mercedes, and now Verstappen's won the last 2. Red Bull looks unstoppable, and we might be dealing with this for a while. So because it's the off season and we're in the era of pure speculation, of the non-world champion drivers on the grid right now, that's 17 of the 20, excluding Verstappen, Hamilton, and Alonso. Which of those guys will win a world championship title first? Alex?
George Russell. It has to be.
You can give me a little more to work with here.
Yeah, so initially, if I were just picking a random driver based on who they are as a competitor, I would have to say Charles Leclerc. But history for the past, 16 years now, tells us that a Ferrari driver most likely isn't going to be bringing home a title anytime soon. Not for Ferrari's lack of pace or lack of ability, but for their consistent lack of performance both throughout the duration of a race weekend and then throughout the duration of a season for the past 6 or 7 years. All that being said, with George Russell driving for Mercedes, which was a clearly disadvantaged team this year, the pick might seem a bit odd, but with how we've seen Mercedes overcome, you know, their somewhat lack of pace at the start of the 2017 season when the regulations changed up a bit and then Hamilton ran away with that title, how they took on the hybrid era beginning in 2014. I'm actually confident that 2022 was just a bit of a hiccup for Mercedes as far as the nature of the sport went and getting their car up to regulation and whatnot. And because of who they are as a team, I think either Russell or Hamilton, Hamilton's already a champion. It's got to be Russell to be the next champion.
Well, I mean, you did see Mercedes take a car from the start of 2022 that was basically a glorified midfielder. And then by the end of the season, they were routinely beating Ferrari for sort of second fastest team.
Yes.
I definitely think that we are going to see Mercedes look more like that in 2023 than what they did in Bahrain last year. But I think between the two of them, it's still Lewis Hamilton most likely to walk away the championship as long as he's racing. I don't think Hamilton's going to race until he's totally irrelevant. I think that you're sleeping on Leclerc. I do. it's not, and you said it yourself, the reason why. First of all, he's got 5 wins, 18 poles, and 24 podiums in Formula One, which is by far the most of any of the non-world champion drivers. And those are stats that put him alongside some world champions, you know, not the Hamiltons and Verstappens, but some world, like the Keke Rosbergs.
Mm-hmm.
And Ferrari has the pace and they have the drivers. And I mean, you saw the strength at which they started off 2022. I think it's easier to go, if you have a car that can win and a driver that can win, it's easier to win from that position versus if you maybe have a driver that can win, like Russell or Hamilton, but you just don't have the car. And I think that this sort of inertia of team performance in F1 right now, we've got Renault and then Alpine saying that they're going to break into the top three since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't happened yet, because for as long as, you know, for as many hours as they can sink into developing their car, Mercedes and Red Bull have been able to do the same. They've been able to spend, now they're not going to be able to spend more money, but they were, but they are able to put their trained engineers onto the problem and keep making their car better at the same rate as everyone else's. I mean, I guess it does all come down to where Mercedes is at the start of the year.
It seems to me, as an active not Mercedes fan, to be objective here, I was very, very shocked at how much they dropped the ball on the 2022 regulations. And I was absolutely, even if I spent a bit of a period in denial about it over the summer, I could not believe the idea of Hamilton or Russell winning a race until Russell crossed the line in Sao Paulo. So whatever my internal biases may be saying, they're one of those teams that you really can't count out, whatever the adversity might be.
But when you look at the championship standings, Ferrari ended up ahead. And that's what I'm not, you know, I'm not going to bet the farm on it, on Leclerc being the next new world champion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just Ferrari, to their credit, have recognized there's something wrong. Frederic Vasseur is stepping in as team principal, moving over from Alfa Romeo, where actually he's worked with Leclerc in the past. Leclerc got his start at driving for Alfa Romeo Sauber. And Ferrari is, you know, taking some steps to, you know, hopefully this year is their year, say the entire Tifosi. But you know what? Maybe it is. Maybe it is. One new angle to look at it from is that Leclerc's contract is up at the end of 2024. It is not out of the question that either Hamilton or Verstappen win the next two world championships. Some other teams, say McLaren or Alpine, are capable of producing a car that can contend, and Leclerc goes to another team if he recognizes that he's not going to be able to win at Ferrari.
He wouldn't be the first person to do it.
Definitely wouldn't. Although, of course, it's also possible he'd walk away at exactly the worst time and just become the next generation Alonso.
That also happens a fair bit.
that one I think is a little bit more likely to happen.
That's what I'm banking on to happen with Vettel and Aston Martin.
Oh, you think Alonso finally chose the right time to walk into a team?
Statistically, I know that the numbers aren't on my side, but it's the off season and I have to be allowed to dream.
That's true. We're allowed to, you know, consider the less likely scenarios. I'm going to throw a name out there. Lando Norris.
I'm going to try and be the bigger person here and ask you what you think before I go on my tirade.
Lando Norris stomped Daniel Ricciardo for 2 years at McLaren.
Yes.
That being said, I don't think that McLaren is going to be the team that Lando Norris wins a world championship at.
Okay.
I think they don't really know what they're doing right now. They're very successful in marketing and sort of being present in a lot of racing series. Their IndyCar team is doing very well. I don't think they're going to be able to put in the kind of performances that Mercedes has for the, you know, for however long, and Red Bull now has as the crushing dominant team. But Lando Norris is very young, and Lewis Hamilton is going to retire soon. And there's no reason why Toto Wolff wouldn't consider, at least consider, Lando Norris for a seat at Mercedes. I think it's a lot likelier that Lando Norris, who is the only driver, by the way, not at Mercedes, Ferrari, or Red Bull to earn a podium position last year in F1. I think he is a talented enough driver that he could end up at a team that could contend. And I think they have to consider him as a replacement for a retiring Lewis Hamilton.
I wouldn't blame them. Like you mentioned, he stomped Ricardo over 2 years at McLaren. That's pretty undeniable. My concern with Norris in particular is, and this might be a fault, it might be a virtue, I'm not entirely sure, is that I get very invested in the personality of drivers as I watch their careers go on. And I have not yet to recover from Sochi 2021, where the win was in Norris's grasp at the right time, and the only thing that stopped Lando Norris from winning that race was his refusal to have the discussion with his engineer about whether or not to pit for intermediate tires. At the same time, he gave up what could have been a first win by respecting the team's wishes that he don't fight Ricardo at Monza 2021. So when it comes to being the kind of driver that's going to lead a team to a championship, I'm still really divided on if Norris has developed himself to that point within himself, regardless of his abilities in the car.
Well, I think we're not talking about will he do it next year. I think we're talking about it 2-3 years down the line, where he's now been placed into a team leader role at McLaren. As Ricardo's gone, they brought in Piastri. I think we will see number one driver Lando Norris for the first time this year. And I think that will sort of make or break his chances at being the first new world champion. The next new world champion. Because if he stomps Piastri the way he stomped his last Australian teammate, they're going to have to take a serious look at him, and sooner rather than later. Because, like I said, I don't think McLaren is the team that's going to deliver a world championship to Lando Norris. And I think after the sort of flame out that was the Ricardo McLaren years, I think Lando Norris might be starting to realize that too.
I would be inclined to agree for sure. We've definitely seen, what worries me is we've definitely seen a lot of times that drivers, you know, like you said, it's not entirely clear, regardless of if McLaren is the team or not, that Norris ends up somewhere better. And that's where things really get scary. if we find a talent like Lando Norris being left with nowhere to go but Haas, for example.
Well, I don't know, because what good, like, he's not going to, if he's not going to win a world championship with McLaren, why is he going to stay at McLaren if his goal is to win a world championship?
That's a good question.
Like Ricardo at Renault. Mm-hmm. We all kind of thought that would work, and it sort of worked. He bailed on it for McLaren probably too soon.
Right.
But then, I mean, you look at something else like Lewis Hamilton going to Mercedes.
Right.
Because that was a move like that. I don't think Lando Norris is going to like bail on McLaren for Haas, and then Haas is suddenly going to produce a world championship car. But I do think he's got to make himself considered at any of the top three teams.
Right. And he has to do that at a time when the driver market allows something to come of it.
Which
and that's what I'm getting at with the whole Haas analogy.
Yeah, but that's a couple of years. I mean, a couple of years down the line, two, three years from now, signs at Ferrari, that seat's probably going to get a little warm. Checo at Red Bull, as impressive as he's been at times, it does not have the match. It is not the match for Verstappen and wasn't able to produce second in the standings. And Hamilton is going to retire. And the Mercedes Junior program produced George Russell, who has done very well in that car. I have been impressed.
Absolutely.
He beat Hamilton in the standings. Say what you will about Hamilton testing setups. I mean, he did beat Hamilton in the standings. And it's just a question of when can somebody get into one of those cars that could win a world championship and win a world championship? Because both pieces have to be there. And right now, I really do think that it's a question of any of these drivers, which one can get into the right car at the right time. And that's what it's going to come down to.
On that, I would be inclined to agree entirely.
That's well timed because, Alex, I'm glad we came to an agreement. That is all the time we have today.
Never count us out. We get it done.
Yeah. Alex, as always, thanks for coming on the show, for making this possible. Without it, it would just be me monologuing into my laptop, and nobody would want to listen to that. Do you have anything fun to share with our listeners?
I am just stupidly excited for Oscar Piastri to finally, and for Mick Schumacher too. You know, after having to see how his tenure with Haas went, I'm really excited to see him at Mercedes, and hopefully, you know, of course, if he's performing at that level, back in a race seat, whenever circumstance allows it.
Mick Schumacher does seem like a nice young man. I think it's good to have his presence in the sport.
Not to mention his last name. You know, that's not just a little asterisk there.
Seriously, though, that is all the time we have. And for our listeners, we are moving again to a bi-weekly release schedule. So check frontstretch.com or wherever you find your podcasts every other Tuesday for the Pit Straight. And once the season starts, check out all the cool stuff that we write on frontstretch.com.